Well, hello, friends. There are two things that my little nephew used to always yell out for me to do. He'd either yell, "Uncle Hardy, wipe me," or "Uncle Hardy, tell me a story." So today, I'm going to recreate that experience with you. And I got a little something right here. What's that? Oh, I'm going to read you a story. That's it. Now, maybe you use this show to go to sleep sometimes. A story will help you do that. Anybody ever tell you the story, like one of their dreams or something? You go, "Gosh, I'm getting sleepy. You're making me want to dream." Well, that's what stories do for us. When I was a little boy, my mother would always read me a story. She'd say, what story would you like? And I go, "I don't know. What's the fella writes about Haiti?" She goes, "Graham Greene? I don't know what you're talking about. One of those. Listen. I'm going to read you something today, though, and it's a wonderful story. It's timeless, meaning it's not of its time. It's not time to read it yet is probably what that means, meaning it's timeless. I don't know. That could mean a lot of things. I don't know. As a time traveler, timeless has a different meaning to me. It means that machine's not working. What's I'm going to have to take it in to get repaired. I don't mind that because the fellow that repairs time machines is very chatty. And he has wonderful stories. So I don't mind sitting there for a while. Now, his coffee is no good. They'll send you to the waiting room. You go, "It smells like epoxy or something in here. They must use that." And really bad coffee. But bless his heart, he has it waiting there for you. And he's got the TV on, something. There's all sorts of opinionated news channels in the future, too. And he's got all those beaming in. So whatever kind of bigotry floats your boat, there's a channel for that in the future. Oh, my friends, reading a story is as much a blessing as having it read to you, which is why most of us read silently. It's a way of reading to yourself. So I'm going to read myself a story, but I'm going to cut out the middleman, which is what I call my mouth. Why do you call your mouth middleman? Middleman, or middleman, I call him, because he's fun, little gray little man that nobody notices, but he's my mouth. And I love him. And a lot of times, I cram donuts into him. And that's why we call him middleman. I don't know. But here's this book. You can tell it's a good one, a real one. Like as David Letterman used to say when he'd flap those cards. He goes, "If it wasn't real, could I do this?" And that's actually a bit of a philosophical question. He probably didn't realize that. He went to school in Indiana. But a lot of us are so interested in just the idea of the story. Read the story, Hardy. I'm going to fall asleep before you're done. Well, there you go. It doesn't matter how you get there. It's the getting there. That's what the bus service always says. Hey, shut up. You're going to be there. You know, don't worry about it. Besides, plane, this is the slogan goes on. It's very long now. Besides, planes are uncomfortable too, right? And if you factor in all the time you sit in the airport, you might as well be sitting on the bus, fool. Trademark. That's their new slogan. I think it's good. They're right, because it doesn't matter. Now, this story I'm going to tell you is very dear to my heart, because, now, I didn't write it necessarily. It's written by PDQ White, my son. So here I'm reading it now. The little monkey whose positive attributes were ironically detrimental to his well-being, as read by Hardy White, author unknown. It's a folk tale, so the author is unknown. There once lived a monkey in Brooklyn. A monkey in Brooklyn, you say? Monkeys don't live in Brooklyn. They live in trees. Well, this monkey did. And I might add that he moved there in the 80s. Park Slope was a very different place then. Now he lived there with the nice lady in the vintage blouse. They lived together in a brownstone.
No, they didn't live in a brownstone.
That's what they call the building in which they lived in. The monkey and the nice lady liked each other very much. Now, was the monkey the nice lady's pet? I don't think so. There's a lot of evidence that the nice lady didn't believe in pets. For instance, she never had one. The monkey must have been some sort of roommate, but the kind of roommate that needs a lot of protection, because ironically, his positive attributes were detrimental to his well-being. In the morning, the monkey would wake up first and brush his teeth. A monkey brushing his teeth? Hold on there. Is this a real monkey? Or is the monkey some sort of metaphor for something? Does the monkey represent something? No, it was a real monkey. Perhaps Capuchin? Perhaps Mevedomian? No one knows for sure because the nice lady never paid to have one of those DNA tests because she couldn't fathom putting a Q-tip into the mouth of the monkey. The monkey would make his own breakfast, too. The monkey liked cereal with bugs on it. They would purchase the bugs at the pet store. Some animals like to eat crickets or mole crickets or other types of crickets or cave crickets. And cave crickets like to eat themselves because they're auto-cannibals. One day, the little monkey got up earlier than usual while it was still dark and decided to go out on the fire escape. A lot of homes in Sesame Street Land, which is what most people call it, have fire escapes because fire burns them up a lot and they are baked in their brownstone ovens. So they have ladders on the outside where they can go out and look at the stars and throw water down on their neighbors while their place burns. Now the monkey went out there one morning while it was still dark, and decided to have a swing on the old fire escape. He started going up and down the ladder, and before you know it, the ladder came loose and started to fall, and what a commotion he made. The ladder came crashing through the window of a neighboring apartment building. Crash, boom! The shards of glass cut the old lady who sat there all night watching TV. But she didn't bleed. The little monkey popped through the window. Lady, lady, are you all right? He thought, because he didn't say it, because he didn't have the power of speech. Yet. That's when he saw a vial on the table. It had a label on it marked, Magic Potion That Makes Monkeys Talk. But he couldn't read. And so he turned his attention again to the old lady who was cut and noticed that she didn't look quite right. In fact, she didn't look quite real. She looked like a mannequin or a dummy. Don't call old people dummies, thought the monkey. And he looked again at the old grandma. The old grandma was a mummy. How long had she been sitting there watching Lawrence Welk? And how was it that Lawrence Welk was still on the television? And I mean that in both sense of the word. How is it that it's still being broadcast? And how is it that's being broadcast into this apartment where there's nobody watching but an old lady mummy and a silly little monkey whose positive attributes, ironically, are a detriment to his well-being? The little monkey looked around the apartment and thought, well, if the old lady is in fact dead, she mustn't need any of these things any longer. I feel as if I had dropped into a grave in ancient Egypt. Look at all the treasures. This will be like the exhibit of Tutankhamun, except there'll be a tea cozy and a little plaque that her grandson made her that she didn't have the heart to throw away but didn't have the taste to hang. He looked around the apartment and thought, you know what? I better get out of here. It's giving me a kind of creepy feeling. And I read one time in the Nice Lady's Time Life books that sometimes when you open up ancient graves, spores get out. Now, I don't know whether the spores are on some sort of ancient mummy cheese, but they get out and they poison those who would rob graves. Rob Graves. Some guy named Rob Graves right now just turned around. I'm not speaking to you, friend. When the nice lady did wake up, She looked all around the apartment. Oh, no. Where's the monkey? He's gotten out again. He's not in the kitchen making his bug cereal. He's not in the bathroom brushing... We call it a bathroom. It's like... brushing his teeth. Where can he be? And the nice lady in the vintage blouse started to panic. If that monkey bites somebody, I'm in huge trouble. At least he's not a chimpanzee. Chimpanzee can be brutal murderers. They can really be savages. My little monkey, what's the worst that he could do? Poofling? If he pooflings at somebody, that could still be dangerous. Sometimes it's contaminated poo, and he might poofling into their eye, which is an immunosensitive area. Just then, the monkey pack popped. Okay, it says, right here, it says popped. Clearly, I said, it doesn't say packed. Monkey popped back in through the window. Where have you been? Said the nice lady. The monkey looked at her with his big brown eyes because he didn't have the power of speech. Chapter 2. Monkey gets a job. The nice lady woke up early in the morning and brushed her teeth and ate her breakfast before Monkey even rolled out of bed. I say bed, but really it was the drawer of a bureau. A really nice bureau. A vintage bureau. It was once painted pink, and the nice lady in the vintage blouse had to strip it down using Hornby's, I can't say the name of the company, furniture stripping chemicals and get it back down. And it wasn't one of those things where if you refinish it, you destroy the original patina, because somebody had already destroyed it by both antiquing it, which was a fad in the 60s, and by putting the pink paint on it for a child's room. So she stripped it down. It's beautiful now. And it served as the monkey's bed. The nice lady had an appointment. I'll be back soon, monkey. Don't you get into trouble. I won't, he didn't say, because he didn't have the power of speech. As soon as she left, the phone rang. The phone rang? Doesn't she have a cell phone? Well, the nice lady was very into vintage things, and so she had a vintage princess phone. That's what they call it, princess-style phone. And it was beige. It wasn't any particular nice color, but it was cool because it was old. The phone rang, and the monkey decided that he would answer the phone because he was curious. Wonder what phones do. I always see people pick them up and listen and go, no thank you, I already have a religion, and hang up. I'm going to see what happens. And the monkey picked up the phone. Hello? Said a voice on the other end. Hello? Monkey didn't say because he didn't have the power of speech. Hello? Said the other voice. Meh. Managed the monkey. I said something. Oh, hello, said the other voice. Is this the nice lady in the vintage blouse? Meh, said the monkey. Oh, good. I'm glad I've reached you. We're interested in having you interview for a job at the museum. It's that museum that you applied for a job with for. And now we're calling you back to say we would like to interview you. So come on in. If it stresses you out, take some sort of, I always take Imodium prophylactically before an interview. That way I don't have any of the diarrheas or anything associated with stress that comes from getting an interview. So just come in and talk to us and you could possibly get that good job. Meh, said the monkey. Oh, that's a good point. I didn't give you the address. The address is that museum that where you applied for the job. Important Street, Manhattan. Meh, said the monkey and hung up. Terrific, thought the monkey. I'm going to interview for a job at a museum. Uh-oh. How am I going to get to Manhattan? I've never been on the subway. Well, there's always a first time. Monkey called Uber. And then I'm skipping this part because the part with the drivers. We're here, said the driver, and the monkey scurried away. The museum was a big, beautiful, impressive building. It smelled like museum and popcorn. I guess they have a concession stand. Monkey had never seen such an interesting place. Every room had a different sort of environment. Here's where whales could live. Here's a jungle, the type that Monkey grew up in, and for which he still longs, and which makes him sentimental, and which now he breaks, the monkey begins to weep, and he weeps and weeps and weeps and cries and cries. All of a sudden, nobody can ignore the monkey anymore, and a child says to its mother, "Look at Mama at the weeping monkey." "Don't, child, stare or point at a weeping monkey." And the monkey cried some more, and its tears became so copious that they began to flood the museum, and the museum filled up with water, and when it did, it rehydrated some of the animals that had been dehydrated for centuries, like milobites and cochrurtheums and swimming dinosaurs. Saurus, one of them. And they begin to swim around the museum like Ben Stiller. Like just like that, except all filled with water. Can you imagine that? And the monkey began to swim too, but only briefly before he started blur, 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 and started to drown in his own tears. "What have you done to my museum?" said the curator, who was also drowning, but who managed to get a vintage diving helmet out of the exhibit, the 2,100 Leagues Under the Sea exhibit, where they have the big vintage diving helmets that are so fun, where you obscure the diver's face. Scary. I suppose all of them do. There was a movement years back to make diving masks and helmets more revealing, so people would stop robbing underground shops in them. Say, "I can't see who you are. Take off that diving mask." "I can't, I'll drown," is what he just said in underwater bubble language, which I do speak. I don't mind knowing other languages. I know other dialects, not really languages. That's the same thing. The monkey swam to the bottom of the museum, and there he saw a giant plug, the kind that's in sinks, and he pulled the plug, and all the tears flowed down. And the water went briefly the other way because it didn't know what hemisphere it's in. So it goes clockwise down one way, and then sometimes, if it's a different time of the year, a different way. But all the water emptied from the museum. "Who did this to my museum?" said the curator. "Not me," said the monkey, not out loud, because he didn't have the power of speech. "Oh, silly monkey, your positive attributes ironically are a detriment to your well-being." The birthday cake. "Do you know what day this is?" said the nice lady in the vintage blouse. "No," the monkey didn't say, because he didn't have the power of speech. "It's your birthday, and on our birthday we usually get cake." "Cake. I know what that is," thought the monkey. "I've seen cakes before. I used to sit and watch endless Carvel commercials for ice cream cake on the TV when I was trying to learn English. But it turns out I don't have the power of speech, but I learned my comprehension was huge. But one of the first things was Cookie Puss, or Cookie Opus, really, the St. Patrick's Day ice cream cake. So, and it's, oh, look at that, over and over and over again. So, yes, I love cakes. I would love a cake for my birthday," thought the monkey, and he got very excited and started to dance. "Calm down," said the nice lady. "In order to get this cake, you must behave. Do you understand?" "Yes," the monkey nodded. He could at least do that. "I'm at least as smart as Coco, the gorilla, who celebrities insist on kowtowing to. And she is, oh, I'm not, I hate to gossip," said the monkey, "but I've met Coco, and, you know, she believes some wacky things. Let's just say that. A lot of celebrities chose to be associated with her, including Mr. Rogers, and and Peter, not Peter Gabriel, Flea, maybe. And yet, I tell you, they just don't, you know, she'll be like, oh, all ball, love, love, and everything. But there's some dark, there's a dark side, said the monkey. But I don't like to gossip. You didn't hear it from me, first of all. Listen, in order to get this cake, you have to come with me. I don't feel safe leaving you here. But we're going to a bakery, and there's lots of trouble you can get into in a bakery. Do you understand? So don't display any of your positive attributes, including curiosity, charm, intelligence. All right? Skepticism. Fortitude. Courage. Don't please keep them under your hat. A hat, thought the monkey. That's what I need. If I only had a hat. But, you know, hats say lots of things. If I was a monkey in a baseball hat, that would say one thing. If I was a monkey in a top hat, that would say an entirely other thing. If I was a monkey in a straw boater, that would say I was a 1920s monkey. If I was a monkey in a straw boater in a raccoon fur coat, well, then I'd be a college kid in the 20s. What kind of hat should I have? I think a bowler says something I don't want to say. It says, I'm a lawyer in Britain, or something like that, in the 60s. No, I think I want a hat that's distinctive. Perhaps I'll make my own hat. I was watching a movie one time, and there was an orangutan in the movie, and he made his own hat using a large leaf. Now, I don't know if it was a banana leaf. I don't know what kind of tropical plant it was from. But he made it into a hat. And I always thought, if I ever get access to a leaf or a orangutan, I'm going to make such a hat and put it on his head. He can. Now, there's an ape that'll rip your hand off, the monkey thought. A lot of people, you know, use monkey pejoratively, but they really mean ape. It's the apes that are causing the trouble. Monkeys, what do we do besides eat bugs and everything? I feel like that's beneficial. You know, my ancestors came to New York City years and years ago and worked with Italian immigrants to grind organ. I suppose, I don't know much about it. I just hear my grandfather talking about it. And I don't know what they used the ground organ for. I suppose they sold it in shops for potency or something. But I don't know. But I know that they were working here with a tin cup in their hand ages ago. And little bellboy hat. No, that looks dumb. I don't want to wear that. Maybe I should go without a hat. I'd wear a bandana, but it makes me look like a biker monkey. And I don't want to do that, thought the monkey. The nice lady and the monkey walked into the bakery. Bling, 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 ding, ding, ding. The bell on the door rang, and immediately the monkey jumped at it, ripped it off, and ate it. Your monkey just ate my bell, said the baker. I'm so sorry, said the nice lady. I just got a nice vintage bell into the shop. I'll bring it by later. I'm so sorry. The monkey is exuberant. And unfortunately, exuberance, though a positive attribute, is detrimental to his well-being. How ironic, said the bakery. Baker. The whole bakery said that, actually. No, just the baker said it. My eyes are so bad. My eyes are getting so bad. I have to buy the glasses now all the time. Reading glasses. And then you leave them on. You think, man, my eyes are so bad. And you go, don't look up when you have them on. Just look down. Well, what, is there anything? Somebody should invent glasses that are halfway. You look down and they're one prescription. You look up and they're another. Ben Franklin. I told that to Ben Franklin. He went, you realize that you just caused a time loop, like a paradox. And I went, F. Like that. Dang it. So Ben Franklin invents the bifocal. That's what happens. Ah, crazy. That happens like 150 years too soon. I don't know. Sorry. Were you reading that? No. I just turned the... There was a I just went back to the frontispiece because I forgot what frontispiece was. I wanted to see what it was. I thought it was like a cod piece for a book, but it's not. It's just a piece of paper. I don't know what they want for it. Oh, this one's autographed by the author. That's so funny because it's anonymous. That's so strange. I wonder who did that. I guess just some jokester did that. Just thought it was funny. Do you get that? I pick up books in the bookstore. You know, Tom Clancy. That, he didn't really sign it. It'll be just somebody joking around. Or it's real. I don't know. I don't even care. We need a cake for Monkey's birthday, said the nice lady. What kind of cake would you like? Said the baker. Ice cream cake, thought the monkey, but he couldn't say anything because he didn't have the power of speech. The baker thought for a minute and drummed his index finger against the side of his cheek. Then he moved the index finger to his nose. The tapping motion was more than the monkey could stand, and he lunged at the face of the baker. What the... said the baker, or something to that effect. Your monkey's lunging at my face. Monkey, stop that, said the nice lady in the vintage blouse. What has gotten into you? I know the perfect kind of cake. I'll make it out of Quaaludes or something. Calm your dang old monkey down, lady. Now come on. Monkey, you too. Now I know how to make a cake for a monkey. Monkeys don't like traditional kinds of cake. Yes, we do, thought the monkey. This is so frustrating. If he says that he's going to make one out of bugs and honeycomb or something, I'm going to slit my throat. Really? I want a cake, like a normal cake, one you get just a Publix cake or something. We're in New York City, though, so I had to go to some kind of specialty bakery. The rest of the country, it's so much easier. Just go to your grocery store, they got a bakery there, and some fella you went to high school with, who's nice enough, made it. But this stuff, we got to go to a bakery that their family's been doing it for 200 years, and they've got expenses, and everything's handmade and inefficient or whatever. But the monkey said none of this out loud because he didn't have the power of speech. The baker returned with a cake. It was a beautiful-looking cake. It looked like a regular birthday cake. It had white icing, and it had kind of blue icing around the edge. And then it had some green leaves made out of icing. And then in the middle, it said, Happy Birthday, Monkey. What's in the cake? Asked the lady. Flour, sugar, eggs, water, sugar. Did I say sugar? You said sugar. Baking something, baking powder, baking soda, one. All right. So it's just a cake. Oh, yeah, no, it's just a regular vanilla extract. Something else, confessional sugar, I call it. It's really called confessional sugar. What's that funny booth? Because that's the confessional sweet. A confessional sweet, thought the monkey. Could you imagine that? It's like the TARDIS. You walk in, you say, "This." I thought it was just a tiny confessional, but I look in here, and now it turns out the priest has a whole suite of rooms, and he pops in there to the kitchen. There's a little sunroom. I don't know what he's doing. What is that, bonsai? What are you doing in there trimming the leaves of your tiny plum tree while I'm in here confessing to my sins? The other day, I hit a monkey because he lunged at my face, said the baker to his confessor. But the confessor wasn't there. He was in the other room making a cake for Monkey's birthday. When will it be ready? When will what be ready? Said the baker. When will the cake? It's right here, said the baker. And he pointed again to the cake that said Happy Birthday Monkey upon it. Oh, I'm sorry. I was, said the lady. Thank you. How much do I owe you? You know what? This one's on the house. And the monkey took it literally. Not because he really took it literally, because he thought, I was thinking of going up on the house anyway, and now I have an excuse. So he ran out the front door, and the bell didn't ring because he had eaten the bell. And before you know it, he was up on the ledge, and then up on the other ledge. These are the ledges that go up the building. I'm looking at the picture, so it's easy for me. Before you knew it, Monkey was on top of the building. squealing with delight and dancing. "Monkey, you get down here right now," screamed the nice lady. "You're going to get hurt." And people started to gather around because they thought it was somebody who was going to jump because they didn't love themselves or like their life anymore or something, were in pain. Don't jump," they yelled. Some of them yelled that. I'm not going to yell. Some of them yelled, "Don't." But they gathered around thinking that the monkey was going to hurt himself. A policeman showed up.
What's all the racket here?"
said the policeman. I don't think he really talked that. It says heavy, nearly offensive Irish accent under the stage direction, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to read the regular. What's all the problem here, me shillelagh? That's not even how you use the word. Anyway, what's all the problem here, said the policeman. There's somebody up on the roof. They're going to jump. Jump, said the policeman. Jump. And so the monkey jumped. But little did everybody know that the monkey had fashioned a parachute out of banana leaves. And he started to fly. It's a flying monkey, said the people. As prophesied in the Land of the Rainbow movie. Land of the Rainbow Oz movie. Flying monkeys. And everyone screamed and starting to run. But those who had visited the opium fields, the poppy fields, they didn't run. They knew what the flying monkeys were. And they stayed and they watched monkeys soar ever so high and glide ever so gently and gracefully to the ground until he landed feet first right next to the nice lady in the vintage blouse. And he said, "Woof," but not out loud because he didn't have the power of speech. One morning there was a knock on the door. Knock, 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 knock. "Coming," said the nice lady in the vintage blouse. "Who can that be at this hour?" thought the monkey, but not out loud because he didn't have the power of speech. The knocking became more insistent. "Just a minute," said the nice lady, who became progressively less nice. "Hello?" She opened the door a little bit with the chain still attached. "I'm here for the monkey," said the stern voice. "What are you talking about?" "The monkey. You are in illegal possession of a monkey." "Illegal possession of... Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not in possession of the monkey. He's my roommate." "You cannot legally have a monkey on these premises," said the stern voice. "You must let me in right now." "Who? I don't even know who you are." And through the crack in the door, a badge appeared. "Monkey police." "Monkey police?" repeated the nice lady. "Monkey police," said the monkey, but not out loud because he didn't have the power of speech. "I'm the monkey police, and you have an illegal monkey here, and I've come to take him away." "Well, that can't be. He's here by his own choice. He's a roommate. He pays rent. You can't just come and take him away. He's a citizen of a sort." "No, he can't be. He's the wrong species," said the monkey police. "The wrong species? Now, wait. The monkey policeman explained that not all beings have the same rights, that some species are superior to others. For example, humans have rights, and no other animals do. Only humans. All other animals, it can be decided what we'll do with them. For instance, cut open their heads and take out their brains and test them and make sure that they are cosmetics or something like that. Or make them fool them into thinking that a towel wrapped around some wire is their mother. That happened to me, thought the monkey. When I was little, they tried to pass off some kind of wire towel thing as my mom, and I knew it wasn't her because she was soft and she also had a heartbeat, and this thing didn't, which is how I Sherlock Holmesed it out of there. I was like, this ain't my mother. I knew right immediately. That's why I was really drawn to that book. "Are you an inanimate object, my mother?"
"No."
"Well, why, how are you denying it then?" "Got you. That was a technique I used. I loved that book when I was little," thought the monkey. You're going to have to show me some sort of official piece of paper, said the nice lady. I'm not just turning this monkey over to you. He means a lot to me. He means a lot to himself. You can't just imprison creatures that because you don't understand them. We're imprisoning him because... Imprisoning him... What? We're imprisoning him because he is a threat to society. How so? Said the lady. He causes calamity and commotion. Your mama causes calamity and commotion, said the nice lady. You know, you have a point, said the monkey policeman. She does, but she's a human being, and we need to show human beings some patience and understanding, because they're just some of them, that's just their nature. What the The lady became tongue-tied and speechless. Sometimes when the illogic is so overwhelming and the reasoning so baffling and twisted, you become speechless and unable to counter it with any sort of articulate utterance. And so the lady started to do that. Then the monkey had an idea. I can make the policeman go away if I somehow fake being a judge. Policemen will listen to judges sometimes when they won't listen to anybody else. And so the monkey ran into the other room and quickly looked around and found an old poster of a Flip Wilson appearance, like a live appearance at a hotel. It was like a casino kind of thing, I guess. It was one of those like a nightclub appearance. And there it was, a Flip Wilson poster. And on it, he was dressed like a judge. Here come the judge with something he used to say. And so the monkey wrapped himself up in the Flip Wilson poster so that the face of the judge was his face. You see what I'm saying? So it was a tube. It didn't look entirely convincing. But he thought, if I can just at the same time squirt some sort of citric acid or some lemon juice or something into the eye of the monkey policeman, perhaps for a minute he will mistake me for a judge. And so the monkey came out, like that, like a judge would, squirting lemon juice. The lemon juice hit the eye of the policeman. Ooh, my eyes. What is that? A court order injunction, I guess, against me giving the monkey a hassle. Could have been worded better. Said the monkey. All right, answered the policeman. I will go away if the judge says that everything is okay now. And so the monkey policeman ran away, rubbing his eyes, and the nice lady in the vintage blouse and the monkey, whose positive attributes were ironically a detriment to his well-being, laughed and laughed and laughed. Bath day. It's my birthday, said the monkey. Not birthday, answered the nice lady. Bath day. The monkey thought for a minute. Had I said that out loud? She corrected me. She must have heard me say birthday. But if a monkey said birthday, wouldn't you think that a human being would notice such a thing? And that they would remark on it? And they would say, I think that a monkey just spoke for the first time? And if this really happened, perhaps we could speak and interact and question another species to see how self-aware they are. Maybe this would change our whole morality, our ethics about animals, about what we consider animals, who we consider to be an individual. The monkey said nothing because he didn't have the power of speech. And the nice lady was just being silly. You smell terrible. Today you're getting a bath, and there's no getting around that. I've got some special monkey shampoo that'll get all the bugs out of your coat. I've got some nice conditioner treatment, which will make your coat shiny and beautiful. And I've also got this deodorant, which I'm going to absolutely bathe you in instead of water, I think, because the odor really is indescribable, and I can't get out. You know what it's? I'll tell you what it smells like. It smells like somebody went to the bathroom on socks and then said, could I get the cheese sampler? like that. That's what it smells like. And so I can't take you anymore. I love you, but really, we're just going to have to do something about that. I apologize. It's probably some kind of cultural thing, but we're going to take care of it. So bath time. And the lady walked into what passed as their bathroom, which was just so miserable and small. You might as well just do it right into the bathtub. So the toilet was so close. So there's no way two people could be in. Not that two people would ever use the bathroom, but there's no way to even get two people in there. But one of them, if one of them was a monkey in a tub, maybe. So she filled up the tub with hot water, and she put beautiful bubble bath in it. The monkey thought, you know, this doesn't look half bad. And he climbed in the bubble bath. The nice lady inflated a bath pillow for him and lit some candles. Do you want some music? Thought the monkey. You know, normally you'd think, oh, I'd like something relaxing. Something, maybe Enya or something. But you know what? I like something hard, like really hard, like crazy. Like maybe like Uriah Heep or something. I don't know. That'd be fun. I don't know. That would relax me. And so the lady obliged. She said, you know what? I'm just going to mix it up. I've got this thing that's just a bunch of metal mixtape. Okay, he said, the monkey. That'd be fine with me. I like what? Oh, Acid King was the first cut. The monkey knew how to relax. If there's one thing he could do, it was relax. Well, the other thing was to not relax, was to be manic and destructive and a whirlwind of energy. But the other thing was to relax and to eat. He liked to eat, and then he liked to poop. He liked to eat and poop. He liked to be active and relax. Basically, he was a monkey of balance, a very Tao monkey, a monkey that knew the yin and the yang of life and was both of them simultaneously. Oh, what a wonderful monkey he was. How his positive attributes would work for him and against him. How his negatives would work for him and against him. What a well-rounded monkey. Well, monkey started to relax a little too much, and he fell asleep in the bath while the nice lady was in the kitchen making some cucumber sandwiches, and he slid under the warm water. And he didn't notice at first because he was asleep and he slid under the warm water. And he started thinking about what he remembered to be a Kurosawa movie where a guy falls asleep in the snow and he starts hallucinating or something. That's the last thing you want to do. It's a Japanese movie. And he starts thinking about that. Yeah, you could possibly die like that because you forget to breathe. You just get so relaxed. And then something must have disturbed the monkey. Maybe it was a noise. Maybe it was the guitar solo kicks in with that really nasty distorted sound in the Uriah Heep cut. And it snapped him out and he realized he was underwater and he took a big, deep breath of bubbles, which he immediately vomited up. And as he did, he created a huge bubble, a bubble so big that it encompassed him. And it started to lift him up, and it lifted him up out of the bathroom, out of the bathroom window, can you believe it? And up into the skyline, up into the sky over Brooklyn. He could see all the buildings now. He was floating over Prospect Park. Look at that. I'm up here. I can't believe it. That's Montgomery Clift is buried there. Where? Right there. Can you believe in Prospect Park? I'm not joking. Look, said the monkey. And they floated high above the park. And now they were high above New York City in the bubble. And it was so high that he was seeing all sorts of airplanes go by and everything like that. Oh, this is getting a little scary. I'm going to start bumping into billionaires in hot air balloons who like to do this sort of thing. But this isn't for me. I'm just a monkey in a bath bubble. And the monkey in the bath bubble flew up into the outer atmosphere past Germans jumping out of spaceships and things as a way of touting caffeinated beverages, said the monkey, to no one in particular, because he didn't have the power of speech, and he was out of oxygen. And when he ran out of oxygen, the bubble burst. And he thought, I'm not the first one to move to New York City and have their bubble burst. But here I am, and now I'm crashing down and I wonder where I will land. Faster and faster the monkey moved through the air, faster and faster, till it became red hot and became fiery white hot. Why am I not burning up? I must be a magic monkey. Am I some sort of monkey from some sort of Chinese fairy tale? Am I the Monkey King? Why am I getting hotter and hotter? Am I made of stone? I am. I am an indestructible monkey. I am the first super monkey. I'm like one of these superheroes. And as he started to not be able to remember the name superhero, he vomited for real. And his head popped out of the bath just as a nice lady ran in the bathroom. Oh, my God, 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 I almost drowned my monkey. I almost drowned my monkey. I'm not your monkey, coughed the monkey. But this time, he said it out loud. He spoke. You spoke? Said the nice lady. I did indeed, said the monkey. This can't be, said the nice lady. You're right, said the monkey. And he realized that he was still passed out under the water. Oh, come on now, thought the monkey. Am I dead or what? If I hallucinate one more of these, like, what's reality things? Not the stupid Leo DiCaprio movie. It wasn't stupid, it was good. But that's what I feel like I'm in. Intersection. Or one of those movies. But this time he really was popped out of the water and he didn't drown. And the nice lady felt very, very guilty. And she really did say, I almost drowned my monkey. Chapter 4. Are we on chapter 4? What, you want to take a break? You don't want to take a break. You want me to keep going? Are you asleep? Are you not asleep? You sleep? You're not asleep? You're not asleep yet? Oh, this would happen to my nephew. Around now is when I say, would you like the magic milk? Magic milk? We call it magic milk. It's Bailey's. Say, no, I'm all right. Okay, suit yourself. He thought, well, I was saying suture yourself one time and freaked him out because he thought I was going to make him operate on himself. This is my nephew. What a vivid imagination he has had. He doesn't have it anymore. We had it removed because I had scared him. A lot of the parents came to me and they said, Hardy, we like what you've... The boy loves you. Thank you. I love him like a nephew or a son or something. And they said, but we're going to have his imagination removed because you've damaged it. Really? Yes. You made it stretch. I stretched his imagination. You think it's damaged now. And they said, yeah, it won't go back. It's like an elastic waist. I said, well, now, if your elastic waist broke on your pants, what would you do? And they said, well, I don't know. Well, what are you saying? I said, would you gain 200 pounds and then you'd fit into them? They go, what are you talking about? If your imagination gets so large that you can't keep up with it, maybe you need to feed your imagination. It's just nonsense. Is that just nonsense? I think it is. I like it, though. I like making up nonsense. It's not bad. When we say to make up nonsense for children, though, we stories about monkeys, though, not philosophical nonsense, right? We don't want to steer them in the wrong direction. Here you go. Here's some nonsense. The world is created by a turtle. All right. Not that kind of... I guess, what's the difference between benign nonsense, benevolent nonsense, and detrimental nonsense? I don't know what the difference is. I really don't. What's the difference between a sausage and a hot dog? Well, there is a difference. It's all different types of sausages, my friend. Is that written? Are you really? That's each is written on a page? Look, I'm reading what I have right here. Whether I wrote it or will write it or anything, that's beyond the point. Beyond the point? Besides the point. Besides the point? Across from the point. Across from the point. Do you remember that old bar that was across from the point?
Yep. I used to go there and we used to go to the point. High five on the point.
The three wise men. Do you know what today is? The nice lady asked the monkey. My birthday? Nope, said the lady. Bath day? Nope. Did you say birthday twice? No, I said bath day. Nope. Getting arrested by the monkey police day? Nope. Three wise men day? It is three wise men day. Is that the same as the Feast of the Epiphany? No, it's just a coincidental thing. Three wise men was the name of a local bakery. Is that where we got the cake? No, this one was gone by the 70s. But then it became an art space. The Three Wise Men Bakery Art Space. Oh. Did we ever go there? Mm-mm. It was called, they dropped the B, and then it was called Twas. Three Wise Art Space. Twas. No. You don't remember Twas? No, I don't think it was there. Anyway, Twas is having a grand opening. Again, some new owners have bought it and want to take it back to the way it was in the 80s. A real art space. Okay, so we're going to an art opening. An art opening. I've never been to an art opening, said the monkey, but not out loud because he didn't have the power of speech. Oh, it's great. There's going to be some music. There's going to be hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres. The monkey liked that. The monkey loved snack bars of all kinds. Liked to experiment with mixing different things up. Different kinds of cheeses with different kinds of crackers and different kinds of dip. Mix it all up in a bowl. In fact, he'd take his own bowl. Those little plates they give you aren't big enough. Not for a monkey. Monkeys have big appetites. Why? Because they're metabolism, fool. They have to swing from vine to vine to vine to vine to vine. Divine. Divine. Monkey loved the idea of going to an art opening. So could I do something? Could I do like a performance? No, it's not about you, said the nice lady. We're just going to go. We're going to look at some art. I think they're photographs that have been manipulated on a computer. I think on a computer. Neat. And then we're going to also, and a friend is performing. What are they performing? Just some music. What kind of music? I don't know. It's original. Oh, that's usually meant ironically. You don't really mean original. No, no, they wrote it. Okay, fantastic. Well, I can't wait to go, but I sure would like if some of my art was there. So Monkey ran into his room, and he got out his art supplies. I'm going to make a painting just for this art show. I'll show them. And he set up his room like a studio. He decided he's going to stretch his own canvas. I'm not going to buy one of these store-bought canvases. I'll stretch my own. And this took him probably the better part of a day, during which he smoked tons of cigarettes, which he doesn't normally do, and drank a lot of coffee, and now he felt sick, profoundly sick. And all he had to show with it, for it, was a poorly stretched canvas. Oh, and now I have to, I didn't even think that I got to put the paint on it, prep it. It's just regular canvas. Usually they come with the gesso already on it. Dang it, dang it, dang it, dang it, dang it, he thought. And then he spent another couple days just prepping the canvas. By that time, he's fed up and he did a collage about the size of a postcard. And he took it to the art opening with him. I'm going to take this and I'm going to put it on the wall. I'm going to put it on the wall near the bathroom where nobody thinks there's going to be art and they're going to see it and they're going to fall in love with it. And I'm going to get discovered at this art show, even though it's not my art show, by hanging something like this, by being a guerrilla artist. Can you imagine a monkey, a guerrilla artist? There was a few people at the art opening, and the gallery was a lot smaller than the monkey thought it would be. Oh, in my mind, I imagined this place was much bigger. This is very, very tiny. What did this used to be, even? Was this ever really a store, or was this... I don't even know what this is. Is this a closet in another store? Shut up, said the lady. This is a nice gallery. This is a good size for Manhattan. I don't know if it is. I feel very uncomfortable here. There's so many people. I feel like somebody's going to notice I'm a monkey. No one's going to notice you're a monkey, said the nice lady. Even though she couldn't hear the monkey, she anticipated what his fears were. Everybody thinks that people are going to be looking at them, judging them, especially if they're a different species. You don't belong here. This isn't your place. How dare you be here? You're not a real artist. You're just a monkey. Hey, thought the monkey, I'm somebody too. I'm not going to let these guys get in my head. Then I'll just end up hating myself. And I like me. I'm a monkey. You know? So I think I'm fairly content. And I like my studio better than this gallery. And I don't care who knows it. I got friends that come over. Epilogue. I'm going to buy a new guitar, said the nice lady. What kind? Said the monkey. Probably an Epilogue. An Epilogue? The monkey laughed. You mean Epiphone? No, I mean Epilogue. What's that? Well, you know, near the end of a story, after the thing's already been revealed, like the plot's already concluded, there's a little bit afterwards where all the characters get together and they go, boy, was that tiring. Yeah? Well, that's what I'm doing now. Posture face. Is the story over? Asked the monkey. I think so, said the nice lady. Although the story never really ends, does it? The story goes on and on. What does that mean, monkey? It means that our lives are a story that never really the end. Well, I guess that's about it. That was the story of the monkey. And, God, how many pages was that? 500. I skipped a lot, but it's probably, the volume is probably 498 pages altogether. I just read. Oh, I hope you enjoyed it. I love telling stories and I love reading stories to you because I know that it relaxes you. I know that it makes you feel better. And that's what I want to do is reach out to your hearts. I know there's people out there that are having pain or sadness or loneliness. I don't mind being a lifeline to you. I want to be like a hose hooked up to an antique diving helmet. And you go, you know, even though it smells like other people's bad breath, there's still oxygen coming through. I appreciate that, Hardy White. You air hose. Thanks, man. I don't mind. I love you. I know what it's like being a human being. It's not easy. I don't mind lending you a hand. That's messy, I know, and not all of us are lovable. You know, but I think, why not? I'm just going to pretend, and it'll make the world a little bit better, because I'm faking compassion. And sometimes it's real, but when it's not, you wouldn't even know, all right? And I think that's better than letting your mouth utter curses with condemning people. I'd rather just lie and say, oh, bless your heart, I love him. Why not? Why not? If you're going to lie, the world is full of lies. How about some nice ones? How about some nice ones? I love you, all my brothers and sisters. Lie, not a lie. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'll treat you with respect, I hope, and dignity. I hope. I'm trying. I will. Unless you're really awful. Then I have to make decisions on the spot. What am I listening to? I am listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. My friends, it's so good to be with you, and I hope to be with you again next week. Understand.
11/22/1963. Today, the entire world stands in grief, shocked and stunned beyond belief, scarcely believing this terrible blow announced on TV and on radio, from tape machines and then by mouth, to the east, the west, the north, and the south. By phone and all communications came the news that shook the nation. Headlines had it in large print: "Wounded is our president." Informing the public was its mission. The headlines continued in critical condition. The news was big. The news was hot. Extra, extra, Kennedy shot. And the hearts that bled no one could number when they heard of his eternal slumber. As many ask, what shall we do? While others mumbled, no, no, it can't be true. Still others on that tragic day, so stunned, could only kneel and pray. Dear God, please save our president, who has brought the world much happiness. This man whom words can express, we need him. Won't you please spare his life? And then, dear God, give strength to his faithful wife. And then, if it is thy will, let not his heart be stilled. But minutes later, the news went out. All hope was gone beyond a doubt. For death itself had came so near, and now its presence had appeared. Hearts sank deeper in dismay on that sad historical day. No one could believe it, but still the headlines read: the president of the United States was dead. Another headline went this way: assassinated JFK. Those awful words soon filled the air. The news was carried everywhere. Assassinated, like past presidents of fame: Garfield, McKinley, and Lincoln by name. Abe Lincoln, whose thoughts were like Kennedy, leaders who wanted all men free. Two famed presidents, a century apart, caused the same shock to the nation's heart. Both men met the same violent death. History was indeed repeating itself. He was our 35th and youngest president, and he carried a smile wherever he went. With a personality that won him fame, John Fitzgerald Kennedy was his name.
Lord, I'm trying to live. Yes, I am. A righteous life. Trying to do the thing that's right, but oh, Satan, trying to block my way. Yes, he is trying. Yes, I'm on a keep on doing my best. 'Cause after a while, I'm gonna get my rest. I don't have to worry about it, children. I know I'll over. For me, can't you see? Mountain, mountain, all in my way. But I know if Jesus, I say, if Jesus, my little bee.